Welcome to the program today. My name's Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. All this week, we've been looking at the gift of prophecy. And yesterday, Pastor Brian started giving us six principles for prophecy. And today, he will conclude not only those six principles, but the study. So if you've missed any of it, listen to the end of the program. We'll tell you how you can get a tape of this study or any of our other studies. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, as he concludes the six principles of prophecy, starting at principle number four.
Number four, understand the blessing of prophecy. I want you to understand the blessing that prophecy brings. Look at verse 24 and 25. Here's what happens when prophetic words are given. Verse 24 says, "But of all prophesy, and an unbeliever, uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, and he is judged by all. And thus the secrets of his hearts are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is truly among you." So when prophecy is given, the unbeliever comes in and says, "Boy, these people know what I'm thinking. They know what I'm going through. I'm busted. They're talking about the sin that I'm involved in or the things that I was thinking. God's in this place." And they humble themselves and repent. Also, if you look back at that kind of difficult verse of Scripture where he says in verse 22 of chapter 14, "Therefore, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe." Prophecy, when it's given out, and then Paul says, this unbeliever comes and worships God, says, "God is truly among you," that's a sign to me as a Christian, God is among us. God's at work by the Spirit of God. God's power is here. God's presence is here. He's among us. And I see it as this unbeliever's heart is revealed. Also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, just continuing to look at the blessing that prophecy is. It says, "But he who prophesies speaks." Now here's what will happen when a prophecy goes forth to the church. Edification, that's building up, and exhortation, that may be a correction. We may be doing something wrong that God needs to exhort us in an area. And comfort to men. Oftentimes, many prophecies comfort us that, hey, the Lord's with us, continue on, and his grace is communicated to us. But also, look at verse 31 of the chapter, where he says, "For you can all prophesy one by one," and here's what's going to happen with prophecy, "that all may learn and all may be encouraged." So it's edification, exhortation, and comfort, but then also there's learning that takes place and encouragement that takes place through prophecy. Now, when we quench the Spirit and close off to prophecy, we're closing off to edification, exhortation, comfort, learning, and encouragement. We're closing off that to a degree. I mean, it'll happen through the teaching of the Word, but here's another avenue God wants to bring it in, and we're saying, nope, we don't want that, or we're not going to allow that to happen. That's not good, is it? Number five, guidelines for prophecy. First guideline, don't be a weirdo. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32, it says, "And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets." That means that you don't have to prophesy in King James. You don't have to shake all over in the Lord. You know, you're... Somehow people associate weirdness with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not weird. And you don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." That's being a little too authoritative. And that'd be the second part here of the guideline. Don't be too authoritative. You know, there's nowhere in the New Testament that a prophet said, "Thus says the Lord." So I don't think it would be good for you, using the gift of prophecy, to say, "Thus saith," because that's kind of puts like a finality on it. But we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, there in verse 29, he says, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge." Discern, make sure it's true, make sure that's from the Lord. So I'm more comfortable saying, "I believe the Lord's putting this on my heart," and then you state it. When you say, "Thus says the Lord," well, that seems to end all discussion. And you're not really saying, "Judge this, brother or sister. I want you to examine that, because I may be wrong." So don't be too authoritative there. Don't be too weird. Don't let it dominate the service. In verse 29 through 31, I do believe he says, "Let two or three prophesy." And it's hard to know exactly. There, verse 29 says, "Let two or three prophets speak, let the others judge. If anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. You can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and be encouraged." Now, he says, "Let two or three speak." Then he also says, "For all could prophesy." I'm not sure if he's saying It's available to everybody, but when it's happening, let two or three give a prophecy. Because when you start getting 10 prophecies, you start forgetting, like, well, what am I supposed to... You know, it should have a, you know, impact upon the heart. And it's hard to get 10 things for your life all impacting at once. The other guideline for prophecy is don't be a prophecy pursuer. I don't have an exact scripture for that, but some people are always looking for a word from the Lord. Got a word from the Lord for me? You know, like, yeah, I got 66 books worth. Start reading that. You know, this is the foundation. And God, by His grace, will supernaturally give us prophecies, but we shouldn't count on that for everything, you know, that I do. Well, should I go to work today? Go to Proverbs 6. Look at the ant, O sluggard. There's a word from the Lord. But, you know, the Bible is solid. That's what you base your daily diet on. And yes, the Lord's going to give that increase from time to time. But don't count on it for everything that you have to do. And some people can get that way. I want to read a couple of quotes. One from an Assembly of God pastor by the name of Donald G., who is also a scholar and has written commentaries. He says, many of our errors where spiritual gifts are concerned arise when we want the extraordinary and exceptional to be made the frequent and habitual. Let all who develop excessive desire for messages through the gifts take warning from the wreckage of past generations as well as contemporaries. The Holy Scriptures are a lamp under our feet and a light unto our path. Let me read another one. I don't know this man. But a pastor in Britain by the name of Donald Bridge. This, I know he said, is accurate. I can't verify any other things that he says. It says, the illuminist, and that's that person that's always wanting this word from the Lord, constantly finds that God tells him to do things. Illuminists are often very sincere, very dedicated, and possessed of a commitment to obey God that shames more cautious Christians. Nevertheless, they are treading on a dangerous path. Their ancestors have trodden it before, and always with disastrous results in the long term. Listen to this. Inner feelings and special promptings are by their very nature subjective. The Bible provides our objective goal. And you can't live your entire Christianity with these promptings, and this is the Lord, and the Lord's saying this. And I find when someone's into that, usually their whole life is kind of mixed up. They're always getting these words from the Lord, but they can't keep a job. They can't provide for their house, but they're so in tune with the Holy Spirit. So it's just, there's always just kind of a little tweaking there with them. And although you can't fault them, they have their hearts in the right place. But sincerity doesn't cut it. We need something genuine from the Spirit. And so we need to be careful. We need to examine our own hearts. Make sure, hey, is this really God speaking? We can't just jump on every prompting. I want to close with just some practical points on how do I determine if it's the Lord. Now, that's a difficult question. All I can say is, here's how the Lord speaks to me. And each person is an individual, and God's going to minister to you as an individual. First of all, you have to deal with the doubt, right? Why would God use me? Why would God want me to say this? Who am I to say this? That's why you prophesy in proportion to your faith. The amount that God gives you, I think it's talking about that personal faith that you have. It's going to take faith to say, the Lord's showing me this. Don't go any further than what the Lord shows you. That's His grace. If by His grace He's giving you something, it's not because of you. Trust the Lord that He works that way and speak to the body or speak to that group that you're with. Second of all, something happens to me on the inside. Now, this is very subjective and you can't base on this, but all I can tell you is this is what happens to me. It's like the Lord will give me a whole message all in an instant. It's like a thought, but then my brain has to kind of catch up with it. And then it's something that just kind of gets lodged in my mind or heart or however you'd want to describe that word. I just don't want to hold it in. It's something that I need to share. And it's not something that I say, okay, Lord, and I try and analyze the situation, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this needs to be done in the church. No, it just kind of, boom, it just kind of hits. And I know it's not me thinking through the process, coming up with a conclusion. It's from the Lord. Obviously, does it line up with Scripture? If it doesn't, then that's not the Lord. You could automatically reject that. And just one other practical guideline along with this, you may want to learn how to use the gifts in smaller settings. Not that I'd prohibit you from doing it in the service here, but that's how you learn. Because in a home Bible study, it's a little more of a relaxed atmosphere. You don't feel so much pressure. One, you know the people a little bit better, and then you just kind of get this I think the Lord's showing me this. And you're able to express it that way. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. I think the Lord's showing me this. And then other people could judge. You know, hey, that is the Lord. That ministers to my heart. And then it confirms. And then you say, oh, that's how the Lord speaks to me. And the Lord seems to, with my own life, seems to develop kind of a pattern to help me understand when it is Him speaking and when it's not. And you may say, oh, I think this is what the Lord is saying. And the others may judge and say, no, that wasn't. And don't crumble and say, oh, I don't have a gift of prophecy. I'm a horrible person. You made a mistake. Don't let it crush you. And you can learn, hey, maybe I was getting too anxious there. Again, maybe that was just from my own heart. Or maybe it was just my own thoughts. I was just kind of analyzing, what is it that I want to see in a church member? And the only way I know how to communicate it is this way, is an intelligent charismatic. Someone that's strong in the Word, but open to the Holy Spirit. And I have found in most of my relations in the body of Christ, usually intelligent and charismatic haven't went hand in hand. And some of it's been brought on because charismatics do weird things. And they blame it on the Holy Spirit. And so others flee away from that. I want to make sure that we are using our brain, studying the Bible, studying doctrine, and then out of that, close an openness to the Holy Spirit. And these two work together. That's...